Okay, we're transforming, I mean continuing with the way we left off last week. And it's really been it's been a good few weeks. I just think of how the Lord has been working in my life. Okay, on the picture, as you can see on the picture, that's you. Okay? So I want to speak a bit about the Father heart of God. And so I'm building on the previous 3 weeks. So if I lose you somewhere, please go listen to those messages if you weren't here. And it sort of lays a foundation. But tonight should be standing on its own. So even if you didn't hear the previous messages, this should still speak to you. Now, this series has been quite challenging for me. The reason being that it wasn't so much about doing. It wasn't so much about, if you do the following three steps to success, or three steps to, it wasn't very much about that. It was actually think differently, believe differently, and that would bring change into your life. And so it's quite a challenge to impart this thing called understanding of these. Sometimes it's very simple but very complex topics. So I'm really trusting that this evening that something will download into your heart by the Holy Spirit. Because I'm going to speak about the Father heart of God. And it's not something you can simply understand. It's something you need to experience as well. And so I'm trusting that this evening you will even experience. I'm going to show a video clip or two that I trust will speak to you. Okay, so last week I ended off with Ephesians 2 verse 6. It says, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ." He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. There's a place in the heavenlies, a place of significance that we are seated. And I try to explain this as follows. Now imagine World Cup, not cricket, not rugby, soccer. Soccer, World Cup final. There's the VIP box, and we have all the big guys. We've got the president of China. We have Barack Obama. We have Jacob Zuma. All the money, the big guys sitting in the important box. I mean, it is the centerpiece. There are probably a few billion people watching the game, and all the video cameras are focused on the VIP box. And then you pop up there. You're coming, "Hey guys, give me. High five, come on." You know, you're like all the guys, it's like all the presidents of the world, they're like high fiving. And all the media guys are going, "Who is that guy? Who is that? He must be important if all the presidents of the world are giving him high fives." Waves, Mexican waves. I mean, this is, so all the cameras are focusing, they're getting onto the internet, they're taking your photo. Who is this person? Surely this person must be significant. Surely this person must be influential. Surely this person is somebody special. Why? Because of where you're seated and because of with whom you're seated. Or high-fiving. And this is important to you. That's why I ended off last week. And so I spoke about significance. You see, we grow up in the world believing, I am significant when I do something significant. I am an achiever because I achieve. And I am a winner because I win. When you say, that's how we live. If you perform well at work, then you feel good about what you're doing. And I'm so glad I've been preaching this message. This has really helped me sort of work through last night, Stormers. I'm still a winner. We didn't win, but I'm still a winner because it's a position I take up in Christ. And there's always next year. We will be back. But most of us, we live our identity according to how we perform. And so we try to be significant because we don't feel significant. So we think, if I do something significant, I'm going to be significant. And you know what? You'll never, ever do anything significant in this life because you are insecure. You are trying to be somebody that you should simply be. If you are significant, you will. It will just naturally flow out of your life. Jesus, when he walked on this earth, he was the Son of God, and things started to happen around him. So this is very important to understand. And I'm so thankful that I am seated in Christ and not crying today because of the stormers. So praise God. But you and I, we are seated in a privileged place. You need to get this, something, you need to click with your mind and then click in your heart that we are seated in a privileged place. You know, the seat that you and I are sitting on, it has been reserved for one. His name is Jesus, the Son of God, the Almighty, the Eternal One. And we are seated with him in that place. It is high fives with the creator of the universe. I'm not saying you like, you know, we respect God. It's not like, but Jesus does high fives as well. Okay. So you're seated in a very special place, but now never secure. Can you and I say you were seated there with all the politicians? You're seated in this important place. You are significant because of where you are seated. But if you were a politician, you never know. Things could change. You could sort of, in a meeting, slip up and mention something derogatory about Jacob Zuma's personal life, or something about Zimbabwe, or nationalizing the mines. Well, no, they like you for that. But, yeah, I don't know if you've been watching the news. Anyway. But you could do something, say something, you could fall out of favor, and you're out. You were the man, you were seated in the important place, but now you're no longer seated in an important place. And so there's a critical element that you and I need to be secure and significant in the kingdom of God. There is one thing that causes you to sit there in a place of glory, and you know it's never going to be taken away from you. You're never going to lose this. No, God's not going to get up one morning and say, I'm in a bad mood. Who can I chuck out of heaven? Who can I? No. There's this one element that makes the difference. And if you get this, this will transform your life. It's called the love of God. It's called the love of God. Corny, maybe. But if you get this, the heart, the love of God. You see, we have been told, if I do well, then God is pleased with me. And I've been preaching about this the last few weeks. If I obey everything, then God is happy with me. Not according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures, he is already pleased with you if you are a son. It's not about gender. We're all sons. We're all part of the bride of Christ. Even the dudes, bride of Christ. All the girls are sons when it comes to the scriptures as well. It's a position. It's a special place of privilege in God. Look at the scripture. Galatians 3:26. For you are, say all. All. That's the girls included. All sons of God. Through all your hard work, through all your obedience, you haven't sinned in 10 years. You qualify. No. Through faith. Through trust in Christ Jesus. You see, the significance of this is that if you realize you are a son, all the parents here in the house, how do you feel about your child? How do you feel about your son or your daughter? Sure. It speaks to one's heart. It says you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Simple trust. The moment you say, Lord God, I put my trust in Jesus Christ. You have paid the price for all my wrongdoing. And then God says, welcome. You are now a son. Why? Because you're not being evaluated according to your performance. You are being evaluated according to whose performance? Christ's performance, Jesus' performance. This is good news. This is good news. Because why? Did Jesus do well? He kicked proverbial bull's butt. I mean, it was like unbelievable, impossible, this horde of huge guys in blue. And he slaughtered them all. Next year. Jesus did the impossible. He lived the perfect life so that you and I can become sons. I shared with you last week, even the prostitute. Doesn't matter how badly she has sinned. When she puts her trust in Jesus, God says, welcome. I see you as holy, as perfect, as righteous, as my son, Jesus Christ. And do you know what will happen? The shame will fall off her shoulders. The condemnation and the guilt will fall off her shoulders. I'm loved. And she'll start living differently. The power of love. Not my performance or underperformance can ever change my position in Christ. I'm a son. I'm a son. And you are as well. Can you say that? I am a son of God. I am secure and significant. Why? Because of Jesus. This is good news. This is good news. This is all because of Jesus Christ. I want to show you this. Let's talk about this. A disabled son. In this week, past week, we've been visiting places with major people with major challenges. So we went to Canaan Care Ministries here in town. And this is for the severe and the profound physical and mental disabled. I cried 5 times. They had to be carried around. These are gorgeous, gorgeous children. They'd make these uncontrolled jerking movements. They struggle to speak. They struggle mentally. They're struggling. There's lots of things. And so when you listen to the story, the lady in control there, maybe go to the next slide. The lady there, Ruth Doyle, she's the wife of the Presbyterian pastor of Presby Church in Ganubi. They had 2 children. Both were fine. Third wasn't fine. Third was autistic. And I just asked her, how did this happen? How did you get involved here? And she just started to cry. And they told me, you know, after they do therapy with these children for years. With her own child, for about 5 years, they did therapy. Her breakthrough at the age of 7 was to be able to stand. Her breakthrough at 12 was to take a few steps. Another child, her breakthrough was to write her own name. As a teenager, writing her own name with special equipment. And he was like, wow, this is amazing. This is special. This is, wow, I'm so proud of you. And I'm thinking, who are the heroes in the story? Parents. Some of the moms there carrying in their children from the bus. The parents are the heroes. Faithful, loving, always there. These parents wanted to give up, run away, but they didn't. Why? Because of love. This is my son. This is my daughter. I will not leave them. I'll be there for them. And so you start to think about this. You think, Lord, why does this happen? Are you punishing somebody for their sin? Are you punishing somebody for doing wrong? And I heard this testimony about a man. He, after college, he for 10 years, he did drugs every day of his life, he said, and drank a lot. And then he says, his parents always told him that your children, they're going to be not lekker. They're going to be disabled. They're going to be retarded because of all of this you're doing. Anyway, he got married, started to sort out his life. First son, wonderful. Second and third, autistic. And he was tormented. Every day he looks into the face of his sons, he's thinking, this is my fault. This is my sin. And God is punishing me for my sin. And then one day, he became a believer, but he was still tormented. And he read the scripture, John 9. If you can go to the scripture. John 9, verse 1 to 3. This is Jesus and the disciples. And he says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? Then we ask that same question when something bad happens, when somebody gets sick. Who sinned, the man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I think that is so beautiful. So that the works of God should be revealed in him. Jesus actually healed this man. He physically healed him. But I was wondering, God, what is the point? What is the point of all this? And I came to the conclusion, it's not God's. God didn't do it. He didn't make somebody sick. He didn't make them blind. He didn't make them disabled. It's just life. Because of original sin, our DNA got messed up. And so we have copy errors, mutations. And then we have children with challenges. Or at birth, that something bad happens. Not enough oxygen to the brain. And something goes wrong. Wasn't God. God says, not because of anybody's sin. Wasn't cursing anybody. Wasn't punishing anybody. Or maybe God wants to teach me something. I don't think so. These things just happen. But what is the purpose? What is the purpose of suffering in this world? I believe that it is so that God can be glorified, despite it not being him that did it. When you look at the parents at this Canaan Ministries place, if you look at the parents and their love and their faithfulness and the other people supporting, I'm seeing a picture of Jesus Christ. I'm seeing unconditional love. These children are doing nothing to receive love, but they are being loved. They're being cherished. They believe in them. That's parenting. And that is the Father heart of God. So that's one, for his glory, despite. Another purpose, it's a prophetic picture. The testimony I heard of this man, he said he came to see his autistic sons. They are in their own little world. They are not aware of their parents. They're not aware of his father heart love. But they're just there. He's thinking, he thinks maybe they just seem like the guy that brings them something from the fridge. That's all they can handle. And then he says, he realizes, but that is us as mankind. We're all in our own little world, unaware of the love of our awesome Father. We're busy with our own little thing, and we think God's maybe the one that brings us stuff. And we're not aware that he loves us beyond what words can describe. So there's a purpose for all of this. And I want to show you a video clip of a father and a son. The father is an athletic father, and his son at birth was, don't show it yet, and his son at birth was, didn't get enough oxygen to his brain, and so he was completely paralyzed. And one day the son was watching a triathlon, Ironman thing, and he says to his dad, I want to do that. But he can't really speak even. He can only type on this little thing. He can only type. And he told his dad, I want one day, I want to do a triathlon. And his father then said, I'm going to help you. He's completely paralyzed. And so the father says, I'm going to help you. And he built the equipment and he started to practice. And it was a 4 kilometers swimming in the sea, 160 kilometers by bicycle, and 40 kilometers running. And his dad was going to do it with his son. It's an amazing video clip. And the boy later, he intellectually was strong and he got a degree through typing on this funny little thing. But I want to show you this. And we can roll.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes, when I find myself standing inside, I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Think of that, the sacrifice of a father to a disabled son. being committed to this boy for all of your life, making all the sacrifices. And this dad, he was strong enough to do this for his son. He was strong enough. He was able. He said, my boy, I'm going to make this available to you. All my resources. This is your dream. I'm going to do this for you. This is such a picture of grace. That is the Father heart. That is Father God. Do you know what sin does to us? It makes us like that. Unable to receive His love in our own little world. Being on our own way, our own path. And the amazing thing is, and this is for me the power of grace. What is grace? Grace is, we are pushed over the finishing line by the grace, the love, the goodness of God. And everybody's cheering and winning, yay, I'm a winner. It's all Father God. It's all God. And that's what I shared about last week. There's nothing that that boy can do to make him more or less a son. It's the same with you and me. We are secure in our love, in the love of the Father. What do you need to do to become a son? What do you need to do to become a son in the house of God? As to become a Christian, all you need to do is to trust in Jesus Christ and say, Lord, thank you for what you have done. I receive my sonship. I receive it. Irrespective of my performance, the love of the Father will uphold me, carry me through life. I am secure. You are secure. We've been speaking about being transformed. You want to be transformed? The one who receives the love of the Father, experiences, not just only intellectually, but receives it in the heart. I am accepted. I am loved. Transformation happens. I shared this past few weeks. We have to receive righteousness, not achieve it. There's nothing that you can do to make yourself right in the sight of God. You can only receive what Jesus has done for you. Now it's the same. Receive the love of the Father. Let it be poured out into your heart through the Holy Spirit, and you will be changed. Know that you are loved. Maybe you can say this and believe it. Say, God is good. And now you say, God is good to me. Now you say, God is love. And you say, God loves me. Irrespective of my performance. My boy didn't do anything. I'm going to love him. Love like no earthly father. Look at the scripture. Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. It's beautiful. It describes our God loves like no earthly father. If you think that father that was swimming there, dragging his son through the water or pushing him on the bicycle for 160 kilometers. The Father's love is more. It says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts. Could you do that for me? Just point. God wants to live on the inside of you. It's not an intellectual thing. Although there are intellectual consequences. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. As you really work hard. I know I've said this 100 times, but I want to say it again. As you trust in Him. Just lie in the boat. Enjoy the wind coming by. Enjoy the waves. Enjoy the crowd shouting. Just trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. You'll be anchored in God, in His love. And may you have the power to understand is the key, the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. You see, if you come to church and your heart isn't touched, something is wrong. No, it's not emotionalism, it is love. How can you experience the love of the Father but not be touched in your emotions? May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. That is beautiful. Too great to understand. What does it mean? If we could make a chart about love and we would try to plot God on the chart, it's off. It's off. It's wider. It is higher. It is deeper. It is further. It is mind-boggling, the love that we're speaking about. It is too great to understand, but He wants you to experience it. He wants you to feel loved. Why? Because it says, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power. You will be transformed. And I just want to give you another picture. Beautiful section in Scripture that shares with us who God the Father is. And it's found in Luke 15. It speaks about the son that ran away, the prodigal son, as it is called. He asked for his inheritance. He ran away. He spent everything. And they were sitting with the pigs, miserable, poor, struggling, alone, without the resources of his father. And in Luke 15:17, it says, when he finally came to his senses, this is what I'm trusting tonight, that some of us would come to our senses, like that boy that ran away. He came to his senses and he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. There's so many of us living like that. Maybe you are a son. Maybe you have committed your life to God. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you have, but you forgot. Or maybe you just don't understand what it means to be a son of God. It is the most glorious place of security and significance that you will ever experience. And then he comes to his senses, he runs, he walks back home. And then in Luke 15:20, this is so beautiful. This is the heart of the Father. You need to see this picture. This is Jesus telling a story of how God the Father responds to us. So it says, and so he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. So he'd been looking for him for years, watching the horizon. When's my boy coming back? My son, when is he coming back? And it says, filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. This is interesting. Full of love, filled with love, filled with compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. That is God the Father. This, all the son had to do is he just started to walk back. He hasn't even confessed his sin. This boy will be chucked out of most churches. What? You didn't confess all your sin? No. And the father stormed to him with love and compassion and kissed him. And then the son started to, Dad, I'm sorry, I'm not worthy to be a son. Make me a slave, a servant. And the father stops him. He doesn't allow him to finish his confession of guilt. And then he just says, Bring the best robe, bring the ring, bring the sandals. This is my boy. This is my boy. I've been waiting for years. He was dead, now he's alive. What did he do? He just walked back. He took his, from my perspective, one or two steps. It's all you need to do. One or two steps from your side to the Father. He's going to run the rest. He's going to run the rest and embrace you. And the Father didn't give the boy a speech. Now look here, my boy. Do you know what the people are saying about us as good Jews? Our name has been messed up. I mean, through the mud, through the pigs, through the dung. I mean, people find out about these things. Do you know how you've wasted everything I've given to you your whole life? And you think you can just come back here? Just come back here and say, I'll be a servant. It's not that easy. Not in my house. Not as long as you live under my roof. You're going to grovel. You see the bit from here to the house? On your knees, boy, key. Nose to the ground. Grovel. I want to see some real repentance here. I mean, really. Real. I want to see tears. You must be sorry. I think you put your foot in my house. And you're going to work back. We're starting with toilets, cleaning toilets. And then we're going to work. I mean, it's a long process of suffering you're going to have to go through for all your stuff you did. No. He said, welcome back. Give him the best. Reinstated son in the house. Secure. Significant. Blessed. The Father didn't say, I'm watching you. Like the adverts, to keep it real. Confess your sin. I'm watching you. No. No. I want us to have communion now. I'm ending off here. I want to show you another video clip in a moment. Because the purpose of this whole series thus far is for you and me to come to a realization of what Jesus has done for us. Why can you and I be a son in the house? Why can we be a son of God? Why can you and I be seated in the heavenlies, in a place of significance, in a place of blessing, in a place of security? Irrespective of our performance, irrespective of how good or bad our performance is, why will you and I remain secure in the love of the Father till we breathe our last? What pops up into your mind when I say that? Just take some of the elements, the bread and the grape juice, representing the wine, representing the blood. What makes us secure? The proof of God's love. The proof of the Father's love is found in John 3, verse 16. Well-known scripture. The proof. Because many people say, but how do I know God loves me? He has proven it. He has proven it. John 3, 16. If we can put this scripture on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus is the perfect Son. I want you to see this. You need to see this. Jesus is the perfect Son. Blameless, sinless, no disabilities, perfect. The Bible says the perfect Lamb of God. And then God the Father had all these disabled children, those with sin. And what did he do? He sacrificed his able Son, his perfect Son, his good Son, so that you and I can be healed, restored, made whole. And so you and I can step into the very presence of God as sons. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, as long as we are outside of the fold, as long as we have not committed and put our trust in Jesus, we are in a sense disabled. We are in a sense in that autism place. We are unaware of the love of our God and Father. And so God made a plan, Ephesians 2:13. I'm going to show you a video clip in a moment. Can we put off the light, please? But it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. This is the point of the whole series that I want to show you in this video clip. But now I want to warn you, this is not for soft viewers. So you can close your eyes. The audio is actually what it's about, but these are scenes out of the Passion of the Christ. So it's very brutal. So you were very welcome to close your eyes. I don't want any writing on any blogs about how the pastor caused torment to you. I'd said on audio recording, you can close your eyes. But this video clip's about the seven places that the blood has flowed, the blood of Christ, to make you and me whole. I just want to pray for us. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we will get a picture that God so loved the world that he gave, he sacrificed his perfect, able Son for us. Lord, we bless you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's show the video clip.
Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is the propitiation, the satisfaction, if you would, for our sins, and not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. The blood of Jesus Christ flowed from seven places. The first place he bled from, the blood that poured from his head that day, the blood from the thorns in his skull cleanse you from thoughts, the blood that was on his face, hey, he has covered the things that you may not want to face up to because of what you've seen or heard. Know this, the blood flowed for you. Yeah, but John, you just don't know. I've backed away from the Lord. I've turned my back on him. Well, they took a flagellum and they beat his back and blood flowed from his back. He was reduced to hamburger meat that day. His back was beaten so brutally. And if you've turned your back on him and walked away from him, know this, the blood that poured from his back cleanses you, sprinkles you. Yeah, but John, you just don't know what I've done with these hands. Those hands were pierced. Those hands were pinned to the tree. Spikes driven through those hands where he bled to cleanse you and cleanse me from the stuff that we've handled that we ought not to have handled. The stuff that we've done that we ought not to have done. Hey, understand. The blood flowed from his hand. Yeah, but it's stuff that's inside of me, John. It's just things that I feel in my gut. I have bitterness towards them and I'm angry with her. Jesus wants you to know that blood flowed from his side when they thrust that spear into him when he hung on the cross. feet. I've walked where I ought not to have walked. Blood flowed from his feet too. When the spike pinned him through the feet to the cross of Calvary. And now I realize things that I can't face up to. Thoughts that I've had that are not right, not good, not true. Bitterness inside of me. Stuff I've touched that I ought not to touch. Places I've gone where I ought not to have walked. And I look and I realize the sevenfold flowing of the blood of Christ cleanses me in every area from all sin. And I'm free and I'm forgiven by the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Seven times perfection. Seven places. That's what he went through for me and for you.
Father God, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, you loved us so much that you sent the perfect Son, perfection in every way. Perfection. Obeying the law to the letter, never lusting, never hating, never sinning. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that you became sin for us in our place so that we could become the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that when we put our trust in Jesus, all our sins are washed away, past and present and future. You've already paid for all of our sins. And now we are sons. Thank you, Lord. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you that your body was broken for us. Thank you that this bread represents the brokenness of your body. Thank you, Jesus, that you went through that hell. You were bruised and beaten so that we may be healed. Not because of our performance, but because of what you have done for us. And Lord, so this day we receive the body of Christ. We receive the sacrifice. And we thank you that you did what we could never do. And you don't expect us to do it. Live a perfect life. It is done. Just take a moment and thank the Lord for his body that was broken for you. Ephesians 2:13. But it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off like a lost son because of whatever you might have done, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. All you have to do is to receive it. So thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Lord Jesus, thank you for your shed blood that makes us perfect in the sight of God, despite our performance. Thank you, God, that you have proved your love to us. We can know that we are secure forever and ever. You even have the scars on your hands and your feet. You will never forget us. We are always on your mind. And we thank you, Lord, for this blood and our trust in the blood that cleanses us. Not this grape juice, but our simple childlike trust cleanses us. Thank you, Lord. Let's drink together. This is awesome news tonight. Although it's a bit morbid, but it's actually amazing. Jesus took death so that you and I can have life. So I want us to close our eyes just for the moment. We're basically finished. I just want to ask if there's anybody here. Just close your eyes. Let's just focus on the Lord. And as we have been ministering now over these 3-4 weeks, and you've come to a realization that you have not put your trust in Jesus Christ, and you're still sort of like the prodigal son, you've walked away, but today you want to turn back to Him. You want to come back to Him because He loves you and has compassion on you and just wants to envelop you in His goodness. If you realize that you have not placed your trust in the Lord, but this day you want to. You want to make a commitment to God the Father because He's done so much for you. And I want you to take a bold step and just stand up where you are sitting right now. To say, God, this day I choose the love of my Father. Thank you for those who are standing. It's wonderful. That's your one step. And God the Father will run the rest. Thank you, God. You love us so much. And like autistic children, we sometimes so in our little own world, unaware. Oh, God, help us. Give us the grace to break out this day and say, God, I'm going to respond to your love. I'm going to respond. Is there anybody else that wants to take this step? You can have been a Christian for a long time already, but you just realize that today I want to respond to this love and commit my life to God. Thank you, God, that you love us so much. Lord, we bless your name. Let's all stand. And can I ask that those of you who stood, could you maybe come forward? Just come and stand here. We just want to pray with you. Doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for a long time. You can respond to the love of God every day. That's wonderful. And I just want some counselors here, some ladies and a guy. This is wonderful. This is special. We don't give an opportunity every week. This is wonderful. So I just want you to pray with me. Just pray aloud. It's just a confession of trust in Jesus. And just say, Father God, I thank you that you love me so much. And Lord, today I respond to your love. I take my 2 steps, but I thank you, you've ran the rest. This day, Lord, I put my trust in Jesus Christ and what you have done for me. You've paid the price for all my sins. this day. I receive your goodness. I receive your love. I receive your washing and cleansing. And I thank you, Lord, that I am now a son, a child of the Most High God. Amen. Just want to pray for you before the counselors pray with you. Father God, we thank you for the work you're doing in us, Lord. Thank you, God, that there's nothing that they now need to do to earn your love. The love is already given. They are already secure through the simple childlike trust. And so, Father, we pray your blessing upon them. Reveal to them yourself more and more. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I ask that you with the counselors just walk that way and just go sit there at the back and pray with them. And then I just want to pray with the other people as well. Let's give them a hand. This is wonderful. And then I just want to ask if there's anybody here, you really struggle. I'm not going to call you forward, but you struggle to receive the love of God. If there's anybody like that, would you just raise your hand? You really struggle to receive the love of God because I just want to pray for you. There's a hand. Anybody else? This is your moment just to say, I want prayer. Okay, thank you for that hand. Okay, then I'm just going to pray for all of us. Father God, thank you for what you've started in these 4 weeks. We acknowledge that we do not understand your love, but we want to. And Lord, we pray that you'd pour out your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Just pour it out, Lord. In the days and the weeks to come, just pour it out upon us that we might be transformed. Lord, we open our hearts and we choose to let the walls fall down. And we say yes to the love of the Father. Thank you, Lord. Can we sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know? Can you do that? I know it's quite complex. Do you want us to sing this? Just Jesus Loves Me, This I Know.
Loves me, yes, Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
You must be very secure to sing like that. Amen. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. And let's receive the love of God. It's going to change our lives forever.